One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
You heard about it, say, I had a restless night last night. Doctor, he was very restless during the night. My baby was restless last night. My wife had a very restless day in the hospital bed. This is a restless world we live in. I do not know what all the Lord has in mind for the service tonight, but I know one thing he's promised me, and that's rest. He told me that I could have rest. One thing everybody's got to have if they live, and that's rest. You can go a little while without eating. You can go a little while without drinking water. You can go a little while without resting, but you've got to have rest. God made the night for us to rest in. American people haven't found that out, but that's what it's for. It was a sad day when man began to think he had to work on Sunday. God told him to work 6 days. But it's also a sad day when man decided he wouldn't work but 40 hours. You heard me. It's not 6 days. Not the kind of days my daddy hatched out. I wonder if that had anything to do with a tired world. We live in a day of aspirins and ulcers and hepatitis of the liver, cancer, strange diseases, psychiatrists, veterinarians. We got every kind of doctor in the world, and all of them specializing in one thing. We got the foot doctor. We got the brain doctor, eye doctor, ear doctor, nose doctor, soil doctor, air doctor. That's right. Air's polluted and doesn't call out an air doctor. Every kind of doctor you can think of. Used to, when we were in our little community called Dawson or south of Dawson, we had one doctor, and he took care of all the needs from the foot to the head. Now we got a mind doctor. Didn't anybody have a mind doctor back there then? A bunch of us wasn't A double plus pupils, but we didn't have to have no psychiatrist. Brother, there's something happened to our country. And I'm going to tell you what it is. The world's tired. Fact is, the world's so tired that all she can talk about is being retired. Not sufficient to be tired, got to get retired. We didn't have any retirement program. We didn't have any Social Security. Didn't have any strikes either. I mean, everybody just went out and worked. American people haven't got a thimble full of sense. Craziest nuts on the face of the earth. Bunch of drunkards and dope heads and drug addicts and crazy people in the mind. America is becoming a great big glorified insane institution run by its own inmates. Tired. All you hear, I'm tired. And the thing that's sad is people get up in the morning tired. That's when you're supposed to be rested. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. A lot of precious verses in the Bible which have to do with rest, real rest. We've lost our spiritual balance. We've lost our mental alertness. We've lost our physical health. Hospitals are jammed tonight. Medicare is not the answer. Heavenly care is the answer. If you have your Bible, turn to First Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5. And this is where the message got born this morning. I was reading through the Bible, and I happened to come to First Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, it's not hard to figure out that whatever preparation you make, you're going to have to make before your death. You'd say, Brother Olof, don't you feel there's a little ledge I could sort of hang on called purgatory and climb back out? Now get me straight, I believe in purgatory, and I've already been. Anybody that's been to purgatory will have to believe in it. I've been there. Some of you looking so strange like. Well, sure, David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Dear friends, purgatory is on this side of the grave. You got to go while you're living, and not after you die. You got to go to purgatory. And that's why we sang that old song, there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge. That's purgatory. Purgatory. If you've never been purged from your sins, you need to be. You'll never have the rest I'm talking about. You'll never have the mental rest. You'll never have the spiritual rest. You'll never have the faith and hope that God has given me unless you do. Now, verse 9. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. He'll be a man of rest. Folks, before you ever rest, you've got to meet the man of rest. You've got to meet the rest giver. Before you ever have peace, you've got to meet the Prince of Peace. The whole world is confused tonight. Our leaders and our wisest men are frightened men tonight. Tired, weary men. Heart attacks scourge our country. And the men are running, and women too, to the hospitals and doctor's offices saying, check my cholesterol. Why, there wasn't anybody in our county could have spelled that 40 years ago. I tell you, things have happened in our generation. We talk about progress, progress, me, I. We just made so much progress, we about ready to kill everybody. And those we don't kill are going to die soon. I tell you, we've missed it. I mean, we've absolutely gone away from the simple thing. I mean, from him who has healing in his wings. But let's go on. I want to give you some wonderful scriptures. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus, that second book of the Bible. I like Exodus because it's where you get out. Exodus 33. People talk about the Bible being hard to understand. It's not hard to understand, just a little difficult to practice. In fact, it's impossible to practice till you get saved. That's what's worrying a lot of people. We've got a bunch of goats trying to live like sheep, and they need a new heart. I tell you, just rubbing your long hair off on the brush won't make you a sheep. I mean, just whacking off your horns won't stop you from butting. You got to get rid of your goat nature. Billy Sunday, that unusual Presbyterian preacher whose converts I still meet with that little fishing hook right there. Fishers of men. Let me tell you something. The preachers that had the most lasting converts had the deepest convicts while he's preaching. You show me a preacher doesn't cry out against sin, I wouldn't give you a dime for a cow pasture full of his converts. Brother, there's got to be some suffering, and they've got to get heavy laden and weary of sin. And then when Jesus saves them, they won't forget it. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There went your cigarettes. There went your liquor bottle. Oh, come on now, laugh at this one. There went your television set. There went Hollywood with all of its hell polluters and with all of its peddlers of poison and harlots and dope heads and homebreakers and and homosexuals. I don't understand how a Christian preacher, anybody else, could sit in front of Hollywood and praise Jesus at the same time. You say you're going to hurt your crowd, but I'll load your wagon before you leave. Dear friends, sin still sin. You don't want revival as long as you stand in front of an outfit 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours watching hell and everything that hates the thing I stand for and everything I do, including Jesus Christ. Not telling me you're not for him. You're not sold out. I mean, you're just fiddling and playing, trifling around. If you want revival, let God get rid of your sin, and revival tide will flow over your soul. Exodus 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. Where does rest come from? He said, my presence will go with thee, and I'll give you rest. Now, there's one thing I want you to get tonight above everything else. What I'm talking about every night is a gift. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. He said, I'll give it to you. But I tell you, once you get it, I believe he'll work it out to somebody else. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now then, there are some other verses. I believe I'll call your attention to Jeremiah chapter 50. In Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. Now, you wonder why people are so tired tonight. They've forgotten their resting place. I can't hardly wait to get to it. I know the resting place. Yes, sir. He said they've forgotten. And the sad thing is, folks and preachers, you know that if you're here tonight and come regularly and faithfully and believe what we preach, I'd have to believe in you. But we'll have to admit, God said right there, and Jeremiah is talking out loud, he said the preachers have turned the people away from the resting place. The people are tired because the preacher didn't tell them where to go rest. Or we go down the highway and you see a big sign say, rest area, 3 miles or 2 miles or 1 mile, rest area. You don't rest there. We talk a lot about rest. Doctor calls you in his office. He looks at you. He examines you. And he said, I believe you need some bed rest. I'm going to put you to bed for 30 days. You need some bed rest. Every kind of rest you can think about, except the kind we're talking about tonight. And dear friends, remember one thing. You can't buy rest. You can buy a big bed and a nice bed, and that's a wonderful thing to sleep on. Hard as the floor, if you please, that's good. Get on it, but you can't buy rest. You can buy rest pills, but you can't buy rest. You may buy you some religion, but you can't buy salvation. Now you'd say, preacher, do you believe tonight that if the preachers would really come on back in the Word and preach it and then live it, do you believe we could have revival? Of course I do. God's always given revival when the preachers and the leaders got right. I want to read you one more verse, Jeremiah 23 and verse 22. Don't miss it. I believe I'll read 21 and 22. That's Jeremiah 23, 21 and 22. You couldn't have it any plainer than this. I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I didn't send them. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, if you believe the promise, God simply said, if they had stood in my counsel, that's his word, had caused my people to hear my words, they should have turned them from their evil. God said, the way to turn the people from wickedness and sin is for the preacher to tell them about it and then point the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're living in a time of sick people, of tired people, weary people. But I'm going to give you in just a moment the great chapter, the greatest chapter in the Bible concerning rest. And many of you have been disillusioned. Turn in your Bible. I'd like to come to the greatest chapter, and I saw it today a little different from what I've ever seen it. It's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. These are the verses that I want to share with you. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He said, they're not going to get my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now then, chapter 4, verse 1. Now chapter 4 is the great rest chapter. 9 times in this chapter, God speaks about his rest. He speaks about rest. He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, I do not preach fear. I preach faith, but this is a particular kind of fear. He said the only thing you need to be afraid of after you get saved is that you'd not cash in on all the promises. He said you better be afraid lest you miss something. I mean, don't miss anything. I mean, get in all my bank account. Get into the fullness of God. I mean, launch out where the full tides flow. And so he said in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. How sad. Now stay with me. There's going to be a bunch of people that get blessed, and some are going to miss the blessing. There's not a businessman under this tent but what wants to show a profit this year. I mean, his life is built around profit. I want my business to show a profit. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure on every man in the business world. I've got to show a profit. And usually in our churches, we've got to show an increase in baptisms and church membership and reports and all that. I mean, there's a pressure. Now listen, the main profit we need is spiritual profit. And he said, the same gospel preached to them didn't profit them. How? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, if I cannot get you to mix faith in the messages that we're going to bring, I do not expect you to profit by them. I will not. I absolutely refuse my right hand raised to heaven. I refuse tonight to try to preach sermons that the natural man can understand. I didn't come here to try to influence people. That's none of my business. God's people never have had a dime's worth of influence and don't need it. That's what's ruined us. I'll tell you, Paul and Silas didn't have enough influence to keep them out of jail, but praise God, they had enough power to pray their way out. That little old church back yonder in Bible days that walked and talked with God and started and stopped at his commandment didn't have enough power or influence, rather, with the people and the religious leaders to keep their pastor out of jail. I want to read to you the rest of this chapter. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That's the way I got in. Brother, you'll never have inside privileges till you get in. I hear people talking this day, said, I'm one of the in folks. I'm a member of the in crowd. Me too. I really am. I'm a member of the in crowd, but I'm talking about the in Christ crowd. Bible said, in him you live. I'm a living. He said, in him you move, and I'm a move. He said, in him you have your being, and I got me a being. Brother, I tell you, living and the moving and the being. You know where? Jesus said, In him you live and move and have your being. And you know what he said to Nicodemus? Nicodemus said, I want to know about the miracles, Lord. He said, you just do so many wonderful things. God's got to be with you. And he said, you know, you got to start being. Amen. A lot of people trying to make honey and they haven't beat yet. That's what Jesus said, nigga. You say that's not real good English. No, but it's good theology. It's good preaching. It makes sense, brother. A lot of you trying to live sweet lives and you not kin to a bee. Running around with the dirt daubers. That's it. Yeah. You don't find God's honeybees running with a bunch of bumblebees or dirt daubers. Yeah. You don't find them on sit-down strikes either. They're always a-buzzing and looking for something sweet and hauling it straight to the bee gum. Little old bee flies around the world and just a few days. Did you know 25,000 miles before he stops his little wings and lays down to sleep, makes one teaspoonful of something sweet, and that's more than a lot of people have ever made in a lifetime. Brother, Jesus said, you got to be born again. Never live a Christian life until you're born again. join every church in town and be baptized and simonized and capsized and all the rest of it. You'll never get anywhere for God till you get born again. That'll be the theme and burn to my heart. Our churches are filled with people today that act like they don't know the Lord. The Bible said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Notice, if you believe and want to get it, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, brother, they don't need me trying to finish his work. It's been finished. When Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, he said, it's finished. Lamentation 3:14 said, I know whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing be put to it, nothing be taken from it. The Lord doeth it, men may fear. And I know one thing, God's sovereign, and he gave me eternal life, permanent life. And I tell you, any time, and listen, I not only believe, dear friends, that Jesus did a good job of saving, but he puts a persevering attachment on everybody he saved. And you better know it. Say, well, I tell you, I got saved a time or two, but I just didn't live it. You didn't get saved very good, buddy. You're not talking about my Savior, not at all. I'll guarantee you, if you ever get saved and wander off in sin, it'll break your heart and ruin your sleep at night. It'll steal your rest away from you, and you'll never have a happy moment walking down the road of sin after you get saved by the grace of God. I'd say this, the most miserable moments of my life have been after I was saved. You said, what? That's right. I never had many miserable moments. I was lost. I had no feeling at all. Dead in trespasses and sins, but when Jesus saved me and quickened my soul, kissed my sins away and recorded my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, when I wandered back or said something or thought something or did something that displeased him, oh, listen, dear friends, the Holy Spirit, bless his wonderful name, quickened me and convicted me and burned in my soul, said, you fall beside your bed or you won't rest tonight. Brother, there's no rest in sin. The wages of sin is death. Well, let's hasten to the close of the message. He said, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. And if you look at the eighth verse, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would they, he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth a rest, verse 9, to the people of God. It's a rest, there remains rest. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter in to that rest. I never saw that, and I don't say it in its fullness, I'm sure now, but I saw something in that today. You know what we're to do? The Bible said we're to work with these hands and we have something to give to them that have need. That's the only reason you're supposed to work. Average American, he works so he has something to keep. Dig it up. Store it up. Salt it down, if you please. Put in a saving. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said that there'd be no gatherings when I come. Listen, as long as you're depending on your bank account to keep you going, you're not depending on God at all. You may not understand what I'm talking about. You're not enjoying living by faith. Bible said four times, Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews 10:30, now the just shall live by faith. Most drastic life I ever saw in my life. Happiest life I ever saw in my life. Takes the fear, the stress, the strain, the fretting. I mean, just to know that God's interested in what I'm doing. This is his work, not my work at all. He said, let us labor, therefore, to enter in to that rest. Think about it. Working to rest. Working, laboring to rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Notice what he said. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper, and into its sword, piercing even dividing the son of soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest. Now we're coming to the rest giver. We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now then, I give you the two great passages as I close the message tonight. Jeremiah said, 6:16, stand ye in the way and see. Stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? and walk therein, you'll find rest for your soul. There's only one way that you'll find rest, and that's in the good way. He said, now you can stand in the ways, there's a bunch of those, but you better and see. And he said, wherein is the good way? And ask for the old path, wherein is the good way? There's just one good way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now then, let me give you the outstanding, the most colossal, sweetest, purest invitation ever given. Jesus stood and looked over a religiously weary world. He looked and saw people that were tied on to Jerusalem and religion and everything on earth except him. He realized that the crowd he faced would soon rejoice to the tune of those old hammers that drive those spikes through his hands. He knew he was facing a tired world, and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Now, folks, if you want rest tonight, I'm going to have to tell you where to get it. You've got to go to Jesus, and you've got to give up the thing that's made you so tired, and that's sin. Now, you can't sit there and nod your head and say, I'm not going to give up sin. If you do, I'll say you'll never have the rest that I'm talking about tonight. Amen. If you want rest, you've got to come to Christ to get it. He didn't say come to the church. He didn't say come to good works. He said come to me, and I'll give it to you. And I tell you, they haven't got a thing down here at this drugstore, any drugstore in town, that'll give you rest. The American people are going to sleep. A man, a millionaire, $50 million worth of property and wealth, he told me he had. And he said, every night when I get in tired and weary, I reach over and get me a sleep, a rest pill. And he said, that calms me down. Then he said, after a little while, I take one more, and it knocks me out. And that's the only way I can go to sleep at night. Brother, that's a sorry substitute for what I've got. I'll guarantee you, when I walked out of that man's office, and he's supposed to be a Christian, when I walked out of his office, I said, dear Lord, I'm glad you taught me how to rest. Folks, you can't find that kind at the drugstore. These modern pills and miracle drugs just don't have it, boys. But Jesus Christ has a miracle pill he'll give you, and I've just preached it, the gospel. That's what you need tonight. More than you need your next breath, you need that sweet peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.